This is Sippin' with Sammy. I am Mr. Flash and only the one and only Sippin' with Sammy. Sam Malone, Barstool Rug. If you ain't sippin' with Sammy, you ain't sippin' right. Please get your fucking life together.
Damn, Sammy. Damn, Sammy. Damn, Sammy.
Yep. What's up with y'all, man? Happy Thursday, happy hour, all that flyness. Please like, comment, subscribe, share. Let somebody know you here. And I'm going to let the sponsor speak real quick, and we'll be right back in a second. This is Sippin' with Sammy, Sam Malone, Barstool Rug, here with Rich Jules, the official sponsor of the Sippin' with Sammy podcast. Tap in with Rich Jules, male or female jewelry, black-owned, small business. Tap in with Rich Jules, Sippin' with Sammy approves. Yeah, so shout out to Rich Jules. Today is a pleasure for me because somebody near and dear to my artistry is in the building. Somebody that's been on the platform before, but he was on episode, 148 or some shit?
Something like that.
Yeah, we almost at 260 now, so it's been a while. It's been a while, but somebody that's actually let me use his space to make sure we could do the concert series and the podcast multiple times and got a lot of behind-the-scenes footage on this trip from my brother. So make some noise, man, for Ace the Chemist, please, if you're in your house. Do it now. I'm going to do it. You do it. What's up with you, bro? How you feel?
What's good, bro? What's good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I caught up with you a few times recently, actually, to get in the studio recently. We got back at it, got the juices flowing. But last week, I saw you, and I was like, damn, everything done changed about Ace's situation since the last time you've been on my platform. You done did a lot of the shit different, like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, it's time to get you back on here. So I appreciate you falling back through so that we can catch up with my guy, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You more than a friend to the show. You know how they be like, friend to the show. Yeah. Like, you been part of the show multiple times, even when you wasn't on it. So you somebody that they need to see what's going on with you. But one, I want to thank you for coming back through. And two, I want to salute you. Because you always seem to figure out how to reinvent, how to do some new cool shit, and how to stay in the music and all of that. So I think that that's dope. I definitely want to salute you for that. Matter of fact.
Yo, but, I like that.
Go ahead.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
No, because you were formerly at 1122 Situation. You had one of the longest running open mics that the city ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And now you got a whole nother studio space, a couple more studio spaces. Mm-hmm. You're an AAU coach now. You got championships and stuff. Like, a lot of stuff done shifted since last time, man. And you seem to be back smiling again a lot more, man.
Well, you know, I'm in a more happier space. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoy recording, but it's like, at a time, it's about what I really want, you mm-hmm, feel me, mm-hmm. and what I really want to see for myself. And I had to just learn, like, outside of being Ace the Chemist, being Acer. You feel me? Because I was, you know,
that's
me.
What your mama call you.
Yeah, I was locked in the studio for, like, you know, for like, damn near 5 years straight.
Yep.
Not taking one break. So I'm like, you know what? This time, perfect. So I started coaching, and the coaching is just like, that changed everything.
Turned the human back on.
Mm-hmm.
Got out of the machine, got back to the human a little bit.
Real rap, you got to connect with these youth, and for real, it's different personalities, learning everybody. Like, I got a lot of county kids, I got a lot of city kids, so, you know, the county lifestyle and the city, just to watch it, like, come together, and they talk about different things and what they got going on over there and what they got going on over there. It's kind of cool, you know.
That's crazy. So do the kids know that you do music?
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because the kids know some of my music.
Oh, word.
Mm-hmm.
That's vicious. What they say about it?
They like it. You know, one of my players, Chris, he know word for word like a song that's not even out yet. So it's like, it's funny as crap. He was like, yo, can you send me the song?
That's crazy. That's
so
crazy.
So when
that's
Chris asked Chris, you feel me, my boy? Yo, what song you know from Ace? I bet you he say that joint word for word.
That's funny as hell. But that's dope. That's fly. Like, I know when I used to, mind you, the way the place that you coaching at, the area, I used to hoop. I used to play AAU out there. And it used to just be dope to us because the dude that used to pick us up, shout out to my man Ted, he was only a little older than us. So he used to let us play Major Figures and all of that in the car on the way to practice, on the way to tournaments. We was listening to shit we wanted to listen to. We had to listen to with the old head driver. You know what I mean?
That's how
I
do.
And that was a vibe. But to be riding with you and it's your shit, that's a little, like, that's next level. Like, that's kind of fire.
Yeah, yeah, man. Listen, when I be taking them everywhere, it's just like, we've been to Boston, we've been to Virginia, we've been to Baltimore, we've been to New York, North Jersey. This summer we supposed to be going to Alabama and Vegas, so it was like
the Vegas trip is always fun. I used to joke with you all the time because y'all used to be talking about y'all was gonna meet up and do open runs or hoop 5-on-5s on Sundays and all that. I was like, you ain't nice, you ain't good.
Ah, man.
But like now I see how you fall into the ball thing. I'm starting to believe you was nice just because of how you handling the AAU situation. Because it takes something, like, you gotta know something to do that. Not that you had to be nice to coach, but there's a way that certain people move in them situations.
Well, it's for real, for real. That's kind of how I coach because how I play. I was an aggressive player, so I'm an aggressive coach. Like, I want to see my players give 120% on the floor, but...
But when that's what's frustrating that, for coaches, because if your team don't emulate your energy, then you be like, y'all don't hear me?
And it's like, yeah, what's going on? Like, it just shows that, you know, hard work and dedication get you what you want. If you're not doing it, then it's not going to work out for you. It's going to be the hard route for you.
So you say you just decided to start coaching. What? How did you get into it? Where does that come from?
Well, like, shout out to the Jungle 215. You feel me? My boy Tayron Thomas. He had a rec league going on. And the rec league he had going on, he asked me to come coach, like just come volunteer. So the 1 year I volunteered, my team do all right. You feel me? We only won like one game. So we did all right. So I was like,
y'all was the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, I ain't gonna say that, but you feel me? We had a young boy that played for my AAU organization now. His name's Thomas. Thomas is in 7th grade, and he plays 8th grade. So, you know, they got in middle school in the county, it's a 7th grade game. They call that the JV, then the 8th grade.
Yeah, I was about to say they split up grades like JV and varsity. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
So Thomas is in 7th grade and he plays on the 8th grade varsity team and he starts.
Right. So he nice.
So yeah. So that's how I, you know, came across Thomas, and he was on my team, and the kid, like, his game was so good, it was just like, but at the time, he ain't really have the mentality you have now. So he used to come out the game crying all the time and stuff like that. I used to be like, come on, Thomas, you can get it, man. Come on, I got you, bro. Let's go. And the next year, I seen him play again, and he wasn't on my team this year. So now I got to play against him. Here he go, coming down the court, shooting. Splash, splash, splash. I'm like, I just got to stick Thomas. They don't got nobody else. It's hard to shut a kid down, you feel me? But we did it. We did a good job. We won a game. But... just to say, like, you know, we just come across a lot of people. So in the second year I coached, my team won the championship.
Told you it was winning chips. I seen that.
Yeah. So that's when I kind of had the idea. I'm like, you know what? All these kids I'm meeting in the rec league, let's just put them together and make it a travel. Let's travel and do this. And that's kind of how Team Unite started.
Nah, that's fire, man. I always say, like I say, I always say coaches and teachers, man, I appreciate y'all. Because y'all dealing with multiple kids at a time on a regular basis and y'all influencing them in a real way. And you know, when we around them young men, we can't help but tell them when they playing themselves. So they always going to learn something from you, whether they want to or not. Like, you know what I'm saying? We going to tell you when you being corny. We going to tell you thorough. Cool young boy, my little homie, whatever. But when you do some cornball stuff, whether that's in your relationship with your folks, your homeboys, the way that you reacted to something that happened in sport, the way that you responded to me or one of the other coaches, we going to tell you that's nut shit.
That is true. But you know what? You know what? They are going to tell you, too. They going to let you know, too. Because as they're growing up, like, we not trying to have them being out, like, being outside, doing some wild stuff. We trying to, like, direct them into being, like, great, like, you know, law-abiding citizens, like, doing the right thing.
Focused individuals.
Yeah, doing everything they supposed to be doing. So it's like, when you got that kind of mindset and you got, like, you got... you people don't realize, like, and a lot of people had this chance. Like, a lot of us as leaders, you feel me?
Uh-huh.
I had to learn how to be a leader by watching my father. Mm-hmm. That's who I watch. I watch my dad lead.
Absolutely.
So, from that, you can lead people to the streets, to destruction,
mm-hmm.
or you can lead them to, like, you know, a better lifestyle and show them different.
Mm-hmm.
Why lead them to destruction? Because that's not going to do nothing. I got kids in this world.
Absolutely.
So that's not going to make anything better. So I'd rather lead them to, you know, let's just do this. Let's go here and do this. Let's just play ball. Let's do this. So, you know, you got a couple knuckleheads, but
I mean, it comes with
the territory.
It comes with it. And the thing is, even with, if you're looking at 12 young men today and you could classify three of them as knuckleheads and this one is this and that, at some point it shifts and you can't even tell who's going to land where, because we grow, we evolve, and we fall into different circumstances as we become young men. And all you can do is pray for them and hope that you gave them some insight and some tools and some confidence to get through whatever they got to go through. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really pick it. Some of the roughest boys that was on some of my squad, they doing great things right now, man. And coaches, they look at them like they but was hopeless.
You just want to see them be great, you mm-hmm. know? And that's the main thing I try to let them know. Like, okay, even when y'all do bad things, I'm going to say something on the court. Even if it's in real life, they came to me and was like, yo, coach, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to look at them like they crazy. I'm going to let them know about themselves. Because at the end of the day, this is about building good character in these young men. It's not about, like, you know, so I want them to be, have the, you know, opportunity. Yo, coach, this is what I think. I got this going on. Da-da-da-da-da. They could come to me about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about building.
So how long, you said you've been doing this? How many years now?
It's two now.
2 years?
Well,
two
Team
years
Unite is 2 years in. I've been coaching for three.
Okay, I was about to say it then.
Yeah, like Team two. Unite is 2 years. This is our second year.
All right, we just
did a tournament today. You know, we already talked about it. We lost. But, you know.
So did you organize the tournament today? That was a Team Unite situation?
Yes. Well, my dad organizes everything. My dad, you know me. Shout out
to OG, man.
Yeah. Shout out to my dad. You know, him and my mom have a home health care business. It's mm-hmm. family care for you. You know, I work for them. So mm-hmm. it's kind of good, you know. It's a good thing. But my dad, they sponsored the team.
Dope. Was your dad always into sports? Like, he always had teams
listen,
and stuff?
If y'all want to talk about my, man, we could talk about this all day long.
Talk about the OG real quick, man.
So my dad, right? My first, like, my introduction to basketball was my dad. You feel me? Like, mm-hmm. like I remember when I was probably like 5 years old. He used to coach at Bristol High.
Mm.
So I used to always go to.
He was always out there.
So I was going to all the games watching him coach, and he used to just sit there, and all his players used to run laps. He used to sit back there eating shrimp. It's the funniest thing in the world. His players is running laps, and then, but
he's thinking the gym up with the shrimp that they can't eat.
Right. So the thing I learned about my dad, though, was at that age, I was able to process a little bit. So I was like, what's going on? He had kids that weren't that talented,
mm-hmm.
and he won with them.
Mm.
He had that gift as a coach, you know what I mean? Like, I watched him do that. Then, you know, we moved to New Jersey, and when I'm in New Jersey, I'm in a rec league. My dad coached me in a rec. I was never allowed to play with nobody my age.
Absolutely.
Mm-mm. So I was in like fifth grade playing with like eighth graders.
How long you been tall? You always been taller than everybody? Or you caught a growth spurt?
I caught a growth spurt in like fifth grade.
All right, but before that, he was playing before you up that, anyway.
Yeah, I was playing up.
Yeah,
all
right.
So he had me playing with the eighth graders. Then I got to like seventh grade. I'm playing with high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the only middle schoolers in my area playing with the varsity team.
Dope.
So, you know, but my dad, like, he was on me.
Can you hoop?
He said he can.
They ain't gonna put them shrimp down to show you.
Nah, don't get me wrong. Now, I seen my dad play basketball before. He could shoot. That's what I could remember. He could shoot. But anything else, he tell me all the time he used to dunk.
Yo.
That's the thing. When he's like, man, you know, I just be looking at him like this. I watched my dad attempt a lot of dunks in my life. Never seen him make
never
one.
Never seen
him
finish a dunk?
Never seen him make
I
one.
I don't think I ever seen my dad dribble a ball, bro. That's crazy. And I'm close to my dad, but I never, like, my dad never was big on playing sports like that. That's funny. You seen your dad try to dunk.
Yeah, my dad played a lot
of basketball. How tall is your pop?
He like 6 foot.
Oh, all right, yeah, so he reasonably. See, my dad's short.
And my dad's 6 foot. But one thing I know, like, my dad, he ain't played by no. He kept me playing basketball. I'll put it that way. He kept me playing basketball. Kept me busy.
No, that's fire. That's dope. Sometimes, and it sounds weird because my dad lived with me, but sometimes I was like, damn, if my dad actually had a little more time to, like, do the hoop thing with me, I would have went probably a little further.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I can't fault him. He had 2 jobs and 3 hustles and everything else going on, so it was what it was. But I got on the basketball league. Like, I ain't start really hooping until I was, like, 12.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying? And it was because everybody's like, damn, you tall, you don't play basketball. It's like, you know what? They be hooping, I'm a hoop with them. Like, I learned my calls when I was like 13. But I got nice by 15. You know what I'm saying? So
you was ready to go. You was ready to go.
Yeah, I was relentless. Like, I was so bad that I just always was working on that shit. Like, I was constantly getting up 5 a.m, going to the court by myself, go to the track, run, go to the court. Like, I was doing shit that niggas that were trying to make it to the league was doing before I was good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right, like, right. Just to catch up to y'all.
And you want
to
know what's crazy?
I was like that.
I never worked on my game.
See? And I grew up with niggas like you. I hated y'all.
And I never worked on my game. And when I look back at my basketball days, like when I was a young boy,
mm-hmm.
that's something I regret.
Mm.
I regret that to the dearest. Like, I never worked on my game.
That's crazy. Like, I used to really take my time. If my cousin would come, he would come. If not, I'd be out there by myself. Man. And I used to really be working on shit. And I used to see the progression. Because my only way to gauge it at first before I got, like, in the AAU and all of that and having, like, consistent coaches, only way to gauge it was when I played and niggas told me I couldn't do something. Like, I'm left-handed. They're like, oh, he can't go right. But now I got to learn how to go right. Oh, he can't shoot. Now I got to learn how to shoot. Oh, if he... you know you're going to shoot the layup. Now I got to get a pull-up. Like, I just kept doing everything they said I couldn't do and just adding stuff on. But that would be my whole morning, figuring that thing out. You know what I mean?
You know what's just funny? Because it's like, right now, like I said, I got a homie. Shout out to Tayron Thomas, Jungle215.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the best basketball facilities. I'm going to say it's the best basketball facility in, like, Pennsylvania.
Five.
You feel me? Like.
That's dope.
You come there. He's a professional trainer, so he used to play overseas and stuff like that. So he's a real good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he got this thing going on. It's called We Done With The AAU.
Mm.
Now, I'm not taking it personal because I understand. No, because you know why? But listen, though. Because one thing, like I said, what's the one thing I said I regret? I never worked on my game.
Mm-hmm.
So kids be so worried about playing AAU. They don't focus on, like, oh, you know what? I need to work on my game. I need to just chill and take 100 jump shots every day until I'm ready to get back outside again. Mm-hmm. Let me take a break from playing ball for a little bit and just get myself right and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Young and just be ready to go, which is nothing wrong with it because the more basketball to play you play, the better you're going to get. It's repetitions.
But they're not working on how to get from one level to the next.
They're not working on for learning how to get to one level with the next. So that's what they have to understand. So when he says that, that's how I take it. Like, you know what? Y'all do need to be outside working on y'all game outside of just concentrating on playing basketball games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing with the AAU is AAU takes you places that you never could go outside of your local community.
Absolutely. I benefited from that.
You feel me? Like going to Vegas, going to Virginia, going to different places. Yep. And then you get to play against different kids that you don't see on every day.
Yeah, you get to see that your city ain't the only ones with hoopers.
So it's like,
and it's a little 5'6" nigga from Texas that just dunked on your big man.
So it's like, you gotta go outside to see who's really the next. You feel me? Where the next? Who could really play? Because if you can't, then I see why you stay back and play in your local rec center.
Yeah.
You feel me? So absolutely. It's like, but the thing about it is, they got the chance to benefit from getting training from him, and he's a very good trainer. I ain't gonna hold you. He trains kids very well. Like,
what's his issue with the AAU? Is it what you said that it takes the work ethic away, or is it something else? Because I've heard that AAU as a system benefits a lot of ways from these kids.
I don't personally think he has an issue with AAU. I just think, like, he wants the kids to focus on, like, training.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So his training is affordable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He actually has like monthly memberships. It's like $100 a month, I believe.
Dope. That's not bad at all.
And yo, he got the shooting gun in there. He does personal training, like personal. Mm-hmm. He does group training and he has
individual workouts.
Yep. And then he also has open rec. I think he just posted it on his Facebook page the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the open rec from Monday. When it's like 3 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good situation for the kids to come through and actually play some basketball, get some reputations. Like
I like that because like now we see
repetitions.
Yeah, get some running. But like now we seeing that a lot of the professional players is they kids is coming up. You know what they kids have had since they were six? A trainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they had since they was 12? Somewhere they could go every day until midnight and get busy.
Right, because you know why? Because the problem is now from the difference between us when we all was in school and the kids that's in school now.
Way more skilled players.
We was on a tight time. Like, we just played so much basketball that it made us nice.
Mm-hmm.
We played on a playground. We was on a playground.
So our knees up.
So we on the playground all day until till the freaking sun go down. You feel me? Next thing you know. They're like, oh, snap, yo, little boo-boo play varsity for over at Simon Gratz.
And
he cooking over there. And then you're like, damn, I remember when we was in the playground. He was only like 12 doing this. That's how it is. That's how it
we
come
actually
up.
Had a poo and a boo in the public league, I think, at the same time. That's what's funny when you say boo-boo. Like, this literally happened before.
That's crazy.
And niggas was nice. Nigga went to Lamberton, was named Pooh, I think. He was tough. He never talked.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's like you got the people that just play nothing but basketball. And that's what... That's what I want to see, like, even athletes in general, like, you know, even football. I coach football, too, with my nephew Zion. He's a beast.
I was about to ask you about your nephew.
Yeah, he's a beast. My nephew Zion, he's a beast. Shout out to Zion.
Shout out to Zion, man. Keep it up.
But, it's just you want to see the best for everything and everybody. Nobody want to see, like even when it comes to football, I really don't coach, but I help Zion personally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, the thing about it is, I would rather not coach him because I would like to see him be coached by somebody who can instruct him exactly how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like a high school coach, somebody who's not, don't got a son on the team or something like that.
But it's just like helping your kid with homework. If you see what they're working on, you can still help them practice on what they are learning from that. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, people just got to understand that parents, if you want to see your kids be better, you got to help them too.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to shoot that basketball, yo, just like you make that investment with your business, your kid can make you a future millionaire. They could be a future millionaire. You feel me? Buy that house for their mom and dad. You got to put that investment into what your kids like. You feel me?
In worst case scenario, they're going to learn a lot about life and about themselves because we ain't go pro and we learned a lot from playing sport, playing team sports.
But we also, like, trained ourselves.
But I had dope coaches, too. I had asshole coaches also. But, like you said, we trained ourselves. We were we from that generation, but that's why I say I like that your man got it for you didn't quote it, but you said something probably $100 a month. Like, you know how much trouble that keeps your kid out of? You know how you know where your kid is at all the time? Like, it ain't about the $1 million all the time.
And it's a good facility, like I said. Like, it's just a good facility where your kid can come to. It's a comfortable place. You know, he also make t-shirts and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
get their branding right. Go get their NIL started
early. So he working, you feel me? It's good to see somebody like that for the community. It's just good to see somebody like that for the community because we don't really got, like, out in Bristol, there's really nothing going on for the youth. And no train. Like, don't get me wrong, they got football and all that stuff, but basketball, all the rec leagues, they don't play together. It's, like, all separated. You got Bristol Borough, Bristol Township, all this, that. There's nothing.
And it's like that intentionally.
Mm-hmm. So it was.
And
like,
it was a time where they all were affiliated, and then they split up again. Like it happened in the city. It happened in Philly. It happened in Bristol. It happened a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, and that's part of where AAU comes in at too, because it's like I don't even get to play y'all.
So now might I wind can up play on y'all. Now I can play y'all.
Yeah, or we might wind up on the same squad and go kick everybody else's ass.
That's just how it works. Sometimes
that's how AAU work.
Yeah, but. Like, some AAU programs really don't worry about developing program. I'm not, developing talent. Kids and talent. Like we do that at Team Unite. You know,
a lot of AAU teams are all-star teams.
Oh yeah. Man, listen. They man.
And
man.
I say that like I don't mean that they're literally up, but the people is going picking you, and not even working them out together, mm-hmm. and just throwing them on the court together.
You know what? I tend to do that sometimes. I'm not going to deny it. I tend to do that sometimes because you know why? Because you do want to win. Sometimes you do want to win, but it's not about that though. You feel me? At the end of the day, it's really not about that. It's really about, like, teaching the kids that you got already and letting them know. So, like, it messes the chemistry up to the team just going to you.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? I got a couple of kids, like, you know, that's here now that have been sticking around for a while. So we've been, like, on some... We've been on the streak, but this weekend, you know, it was a letdown. That's all I'm going to say.
It's all good. Now, let's switch speeds real quick. Recently, someone named Kay called you and said that they wanted to book some studio time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure when you got this call, you said she booking time for Sammy. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the studio and it's a real Kay session. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mind you the first person ever recorded Kay vocals.
Right.
And you done it more than once. You did it two times before that, and they came out dope. Well, how does it feel to be the boy that worked for everybody from Freeway to K?
I ain't gonna hold you. It's kind of cool. Yo, for real, it kind of shocked me, though. It kind of shocked me when K came to the studio and she wanted to sing. I was just like, huh? And you got there, you sat there, you had your Sammy, what we gonna call that? Sammy Fun Pack.
Yes, sir.
You feel me? You
I was come in, with my favors.
Yep. So he was chilling,
mm-hmm.
and she went in, and that was that. And I couldn't believe it. It was just like, but to hear her do other things too, like to do the one song with Bookworm,
mm-hmm.
and then the other joint we just did, she had, you know, she squeezed her little part in there, like, hold on, we're going to get this.
With HB yep. going crazy mm-hmm. on it. Yo, I love that song. That song be stuck in my head, bro.
Yo, listen, I ain't going to hold you. I listen you to that song, like, twice a day.
See what I'm saying? It's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got some ideas, too. We going to talk about
it. HB, yo, listen, she is different.
HB different. And you know what's funny? I was like, bro, figure out a beat. We ready to work. And you was like, hold up. HB cover. I would make sure we got the right beat. And the crazy thing is, when you be on it, you be right. You might got the highest shooting percentage as a producer for real.
Man, listen, if I had the highest shooting percentage, man, like, I'd be shooting some major stuff. But it's on the way.
But I mean, just as far as like inspiring people to get busy, like, you'll put on a vibe that motherfuckers is like, yep, say no more. And you do it all the time.
Yo, for real, like...
Your ear is crazy.
I listen to a lot of music, so... And I listen to a lot of other people's music. I don't really listen to myself. I'm going to keep it a bean. I'm not one of
the artists. Yeah. Oh, my bad.
I can't listen to that. It's nothing against my music, but it's like... I gotta feel like... I'm a creator. I want to hear other people, so I could put something together. So the more other people's music I listen to... Got a basketball player calling, my bad. But mm-hmm. So the more I listen to other people's music, the more I get their vibes. So when they come into the studio, they're like, yo, Ace, I need this. And I'm like, how you feeling today? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And I get mm-hmm. their mood, their vibe, or however I read their energy when they come in the studio. And when it's like being like a therapist.
I think you definitely you need to take that. Or you
nah,
good?
Nah.
All right. No, I think for me a lot of times, and that's why there has been times that Kay been like, yo, you need to get in the studio or something, because it is therapeutic for me. It is absolutely therapeutic for me. But I was going to ask you, like, do you, now that you say you listen to other people's stuff, people that you work with stuff, mm-hmm. do you ever listen to them and be like, this is what they missing, so next time I get with them, I'm going to give them one of these? Is that one of the
absolutely.
Things that happens too?
Absolutely. You got to, because the you know what I like about a lot of people that work with me? They allow me to, like, to lead the session. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they trust my ear, and they just trust my like judgment on a lot of the stuff. Like even when I'm like mixing and chopping and screwing and all that stuff on the records, it's like nobody really be like, yo, I need you to do this right here. It's like
I would never.
And it's the craziest thing. It's a blessing because like I watched a lot of people just allow me to work. You know, I watched them sit around a lot of engineers like, yo, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. But it's a blessing.
Well, a lot of it, like, that come from you. Like, you said they trust you. You built that trust in them. Like, motherfuckers that sat there for 5 minutes trying to figure out their next thing and realize, oh, shit, he on it already. Look. He's snapping over there. Like, you know what I mean? That's how it be.
Because I'm a producer, so that's what people need to understand. It's the difference from being an engineer, a beat maker, and a producer. I just need people to know that. Mm-hmm. I do all three, all right?
Very well.
My end game, I'm a producer at the end of the day. So which means that I'm going to help you create your song. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help you write your song. I'm going to help you do whatever you need to do to partake to make the best thing that come out of the studio. You feel me? I don't like, and for real, the best thing is just to hear it come off of my beat that I created. It's the craziest thing. Because I remember being a kid, like, my boy Jason Driver, he gave me a Fruity Loop Studio. That's what I record, FL Studio. That's what I make my beats on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a little CD, and we got kicked out of school. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me figure this out. And I just kept figuring it out. So then I met Fame, and then Fame showed me, like, really how to use it. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Once I learned that, that was the rest. I was like 16, 17 then.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope.
So, I got like 20 years in making beats. It's kind of cool.
I mean, shit, I done seen motherfuckers do shit over your records that went viral. I done seen motherfuckers create moments over your records. I done seen people finally get that record that they could consistently perform.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking with you. Like, it's levels to all of that shit. Like, that gotta be dope. Like, you really, like, grow niggas up in a little bit. Like, certain people, you could really do that.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of people really just, I guess it's an elevation process, you feel me? It's a difference from working with your average engineer or your average producer. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to let you know, nah, you need to do that shit over. Like, nah, mm-hmm. Let's go back. I'll even stop you right in the middle of your verse. Like, uh-uh, let's go. It's the energy you got to come. Like, you can't come to the studio with, like, not prepared, not ready to work. That's the worst thing you could do. You got to have that mental, like, all right, let's get it. You know what? We really is. That's what locking in is about. You can't tell somebody I want to lock in and then just come and just want to do all this random shit. No, you want to lock in. I want to personally work with you.
Bro, you preaching to the choir right now. I be saying it. Motherfuckers talk that lock in, go time shit. And you find out you the only one locked in or going, and yeah, then be like, bro, you the one. I already was ahead of pace.
Yo, man. It's
I was good.
It's the worst thing in the world, man. It's like, let's lock in. That's what you want to do. I'm locked in. I'm ready. I'm zoned in. You know, it's like, it's easy for me to get distracted.
Mm.
So it's like, if we not really locked in, I'm going to get distracted.
How do you not let distractions affect your sound? Because that's actually what I was thinking before. I'm like, you somebody I know be having a lot going on and trying to figure out a lot of shit. And sometimes a lot of shit going on in the room. How do you always make sure that you come out with the same quality no matter what? It's like being a barber. Like, how the fuck do you just always like...
I'm focused, baby. What you mean?
But how? Is like nature now? Is it like, you know, do your ears bleed when you hear something?
You know what it is? Pitches? Let me tell you the truth. It's like a superpower, right? I'm mm-hmm. gonna keep it a bean. It's a superpower. Mm-hmm. I'm a superhero, all right.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I gotta come out now. I'm a superhero.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I could literally tune everybody out in the room. And, like, just be in my own little circle. And I won't hear nothing in the room.
Straight tunnel vision shit.
Straight tunnel vision. I'll be listening. And I'll be like, you'll see me. I'll just be sitting there like this.
Mm-hmm.
Million things going on in the background. It's people.
Bro, it be a show downstairs, and the booth be the VIP sometime. And you recording and engineering in the middle of a VIP party.
It'd be the craziest thing in the world.
I've seen it happen.
It'd be the craziest thing in the world for
real,
man.
I see you do that shit. It'd be
the craziest thing in the world. And it's funny because, like I said, I could just... And that's it. No, I won't... It is what it is.
That's why it's a thin line between a superhero and a villain. Because that shit could be used for good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
That amount of focus, that amount of concentration, that could be used for good or evil. And you probably used it for evil before.
Nah, we ain't gonna go in. I definitely,
because you still out here with us.
I definitely, like, you feel me? I'm just like...
It was Dennis the Menace at one point.
Yeah, I was definitely Dennis the Menace. I thought, you know what it was for real growing up? Like, I got bullied. So I got bullied from, like, I'm going to say, like, second grade to, like, fifth.
What did they bully you about?
I was black as shit. What you mean? I was a black-ass young boy.
I mean, there was a bunch of shit. It could have been your culture. You know, it could have been your complexion. It could have been your name.
That couldn't. Nah,
which now, Asa is a dope-ass name.
You know
but
what it is?
As a kid,
for real,
different.
I used to always come to school as a young boy. I had all my cousin Darius, man. He used to, all the new Jordans he had, mm-hmm. I had them.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone he had. Mm-hmm. You know, here you go, cuz.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Shout out to him. That's
yeah,
heavy.
Real rap. So, I was just black. They used to just make fun of me. I was black as shit.
They just had to pick on you like, yo,
yeah,
we gotta find something to fuck with about.
For real, my mom used to have me out here dressed all nice. I was dressed super nice when I was a young boy. I wasn't dusty. I wasn't nothing. My mom was just like, I was just an ugly young boy. I had to wait till my moment. I had to wait for my moment.
You had to grow into your features.
I had to grow into my features. The road wasn't long, you feel me? But it was like, damn, like
it was wild for a
all
minute.
The ones that didn't want me back then. You know how it go. You know the story.
Yeah, that's how I read. But like, did you take it as bullying?
No, hell yeah. What? I got in a hell of fights over this shit.
Did you lose all level?
No, I put belt to ass when I was a young boy. I'm gonna keep it a bean, like.
Cause you know what they say about the Karate Kid. Most of that shit was his fault. He was whooping niggas.
I'm gonna keep it a bean, right? Like, my very first fight I remember as a kid, right? We in the lunch line. This kid messed with me every day. He messed with me every day. So I kept telling my mom, like, yo, mom, like, yo, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right. So next day in school, we get to school. We in the mix. We right in lunch line. He start pushing me, knock my tray over. That's all I heard. I just heard what my mom said, and we just start fighting. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I whooped his ass so bad that his dad came to school and said I was bullying him.
See what I'm saying? No, you know it's funny. I've been there before, too.
Yeah, so I was like, yo, how was I? My mom was like, what? My son don't chase your son. What? Your son be messing with my son every so. Then, you know, that was the first bully fight. Then was all the rest of them. I had to get the whole crew. They had the rundown. You feel me? So kids would say something to me, and we'd be looking at each other. I would just start teeing off. Boom, boom. I had a very bad fighting problem as a kid.
That's crazy. I did, too. I had a horrible temper. My mom used to say that. Red temper. When my face used to go red, it wasn't no going back.
Mm-hmm. That was it. Because, like, I just got tired of it, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, at this point now, y'all just going to have to learn y'all lesson. I know I can fight now. What's up?
Yeah, man, I can throw them things, too. I got 10 fingers.
Yo, right.
10 fingers like, and
yo,
10 knuckles.
You already saw my work, so what's up now? And it's just like, at that point, everybody just decided to be cool. And
that's crazy, because then after that, you got to learn with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. All the other shit that go along with mm-hmm. it, so you'll be
so
an animal.
From that moment on, everywhere I went, like a lot of schools I went to, people gravitated to me. What's up? I had that aura ever since. I just had to overcome that little, you know, that factor in my life, that little hurdle.
That's dope, though, because that explains why you able to do what you do on the entertainment side. You got to deal with a billion different personalities before you even went into coaching. You said it about coaching, but nigga, and you dealing with motherfuckers on all type of vices,
of
entourages.
Oh my goodness.
And they in a space that, you know, that's your space.
The worst be trying to come in the studio and record somebody. and they got like, 50 people with them.
And two niggas rap.
No. This be the worst. Everybody else be with their ski mask on. They had a ski mask on. They just sitting there. Everybody deep as shit, all black ski mask on, and one person rap, not two, just one person. And then he like this. He record, let me punch in. Record, let me punch in. Record, let me punch in. That's not rapping. That's not, rapping is an art, you feel me?
Talk about it.
Y'all gotta learn that rapping is an art. What y'all doing right now is just frauding. A lot of y'all that do that
Tell
shit.
Them how much I hate punching in, bro. I hate that shit.
Yo, punching in is 10 push-ups.
I hate that shit. But it's crazy because everybody knows Sun One. Years ago, I was at Sun One studio, and like 30 niggas walked in with neck, face, hand tattoos, all crazy. And two of them niggas came to rap, bro. And we literally, like, we was about to roll, but it was like officially time to go when that happened. But we looking at him like,
you good?
You recorded with these niggas before, right? Like,
yeah, you good? You straight? I know like, that. No, I know that. Cool. Feeling.
Like, that's wild, yo. That's wild. That's like, I remember being at the bar, and the bartender might have a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be like, yo, you got time? Don't go nowhere right now. Don't leave me here with just him in here. And you sit there, and now you done adjusted your day for somebody else's safety. That's how I felt before in the studio, before leaving the studio. Like, I can't kick it for a little while longer, even though I'm not supposed to, because I want to make sure my folks is safe.
Yeah, but that's why, for I did what I did. I had to get low.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I got tired of people just being able to have that much
access
to me, for real. It's just like, oh, I know Ace here. Let me just go here and pull up on him.
Well, that's because you kept Batman hours. You was there all the goddamn time. Yeah,
that was the bad kid. For real. That was the crib, man. Like, for real. Like,
next time you lock yourself in somewhere, make sure it got more sunlight.
Yeah, real rap. Cause to be honest, yo, that sunlight, bro. We used to talk about like vampires in that joint. Like, I used to get bad in that joint.
Feel like being in a casino or the strip club all night. You wake up like, what day is it? You walk out the jaw like, oh, yo, shit. Well,
yo, I had a studio with no windows. You ain't know what time of the day. You get, look, yo, that joint. Like, remember that casino on that one Percy Jackson movie? Remember they went to like the casino and they was in there for like 10 days? And they ain't know they was in there for you. If you ain't, you got to watch that movie.
I got to watch that. I've never seen it.
But they went inside the little casino and they was in the casino for like 10 days. He was like, yo, how long was... He was like, we've been here for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So they go outside to do like, but what day is it? They're like, he said like, it was like two Fridays after. He's like, what? We've been in there for like 2 weeks? And it was crazy. It was like, yo, like, you get caught up like that.
But see, that's the whole intention. For people that don't know, there are no windows, no clocks in casinos. They aren't none. In gambling houses, same shit. No clocks, no windows, and it's purposeful. And you will lose your fucking life just sitting
there.
They're
going to have you sitting there. You're going to like this. You're going to be sitting there losing all your money.
Mm-hmm. All your money. You're going to take a break. Next thing you know, right back at it. 2 days done went by. That's crazy. This nigga, I got to watch that movie.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, they was in the casino for like 10 days, like 14 days, bro. And it was just like, okay, I guess my boy, you gonna be there. And the movie scene, it was like 5 minutes. So, you know, it felt crazy. Like, once I found out that we all was in that casino for 10 days, like, damn, bro. I had to rewind the movie to see how long the time
was. Like, what just happened? Because that didn't feel like 10 days.
It looked like it was 10 days. They ain't do 10 days worth of shit on a movie. So, how was it 10 days?
That's crazy.
You get what I'm saying? You gotta look at shit like that.
That's crazy. But what you got? You working towards any projects, any music? You dropping singles? You shooting visuals? What we doing, man? You ain't at South by Southwest.
I'm not at South by Southwest. No, but this is what I'm going to say, right? Like, this is my last year doing music, bro. Like, rapping. I'm happy I get to sit here. But, you know, like, rapping, like...
Oh, wrong button.
Get down on the ground.
Wrong button. Hold on. There we go. That's what I think about that. That's what
For real. I could still be a great producer, bro. I could still be a great producer and a great engineer. My thing about it is like,
no, now you making it sound like I'm being selfish. Nigga, I like your music.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, right, It takes time to make music. It takes time for that stuff.
Not for you.
It doesn't, but I'm just saying it takes time. Like, right now, like, the mindset is, like, even with my music, like, I'm not trying to put out the same message I was putting out. So it's
yeah,
like,
I've seen that
trying,
as you.
Yeah, you feel me? So it's like trying to go through like a process of just chilling right now. It's like when I feel like I want to say something, then I go into the studio. I'm not just going in the studio to find a beat off of YouTube or make a beat myself and rap off of it. That's not my vibe no more. I gotta really want to rap now.
But you said that this is your last year doing music as if you a battle rapper or something. Nigga, you could just stop for a while. It's okay. We don't have to make
four
more
announcements. Man, stop for a while, bro. I'm 35, bro. I got two daughters. I wanna give them a lot of time. That's how I look at it. I'm going to give my daughters time. I want to make sure I got, like, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I want to just focus on, like, building up my family and stuff like that. Like,
as you should. Nobody's going to argue that, but those are all safe things to say. You know nobody can argue that. Cut it out.
You can't argue it.
Cut that's it out. Just, like, this nigga give you the safe shit.
No, and that's not the same
you gonna,
shit.
You going to make
you know
me
why,
sound crazy
you know why,
if
you know
I dispute
why.
It.
Yo, bro, I haven't released the album in 2 years, bro.
Right.
So it was like, the album I got that I wanted to release is like, I think it's going to be hot, but it's like, it's not the message I'm trying to put out now.
So if this is your last year, what's dropping? What can we look forward to? Because you got to clear
I'm clearing out everything. So y'all going to get like a whole bunch of albums. Y'all are going to get singles. Y'all going to get all my music this year.
For real?
Yeah, y'all going to get all my music this year.
Oh, I'm excited about
that. Now, this the crazy part. Now, something may happen over that. I might get better opportunities and stuff that I was lacking on because I wasn't putting stuff out. So it's like, what could I, like, but as of me recording music anymore, it would have to be a situation like that.
Oh, well, don't worry about nothing. Just put the music out. You going to have a new situation any damn way. I believe in you. I'm team Ace the Chemist.
I'm going to put all the music out this year. That's the plan. Then I can focus on making the beats. Then I can focus on being a better engineer, you know.
And a better father.
Yeah, and definitely a better father, for sure, for sure.
He started with the babies like we was going, boy, don't do that.
You know why? You know why, bro? Because on some real rap, bro, like, it's a vibe being around my kids, bro.
It should be.
I got two daughters, bro.
Absolutely.
It's every second with them, it'd be like, you go so fast. And then they in high school now. Well, I got a high schooler now. So it's like,
no, I respect it 100%, man.
I wanna be there. Like, she's cheerleading. Like, I can't be trying to catch cheerleading session. She doing her drawing at a basketball game, and then people trying to hold me down in the studio for. I can't just sometimes just.
No,
I took a break. You know what it is? When you take a break, you gotta figure it out. And then break during the break, if it is really what you wanna do, or if you just wanna chill.
See, and I'm with all of that. I'm with being at everything for the baby girls, for sure, because, like you said, if every moment with them is a blessing, then you feel like you're cheating yourself in them every moment that you could have been with them, right?
Right.
I respect that. I just don't want you to put no caps on nothing else.
All right, just, oh, my bad. Off the strength of you, then, I ain't going to put no caps on it, but I'm just going to release all my music, though.
Let's do it, man. Let's have a free fall.
Nothing come from it.
Let's have some fun. Let people know how to keep up with everything that you're going to release and all that, man.
So you can follow me, Instagram, Ace the Chemist, Chemist with a K, and D-A.
And don't play with his time because you fucking with my... Oh, my bad.
And then you got my basketball team. It's Unite Academy Basketball. And that's my AAU travel team. So we got a girls team. We got a 7th grade team, a 6th grade team, a high school boys team, and a high school girls team. And we still, you know, we taking players, we looking for sponsors, anything that could help the kids, you know.
Absolutely. Going to keep building, man. Keep building. And I want to salute you and Pop and Mom for that again, because that's major.
Mm-hmm.
That's heavy, man. That's legacy. They going to remember that.
Yo, shout out to everybody on the team, you know, Coach Nat, Coach Bilal. My pop again. You feel me? Coach Derek, Coach Jason, all the players, you know, I ain't gonna name all y'all. But y'all know what's up. I'm even clap for y'all. We've been holding it down since last summer, man. Since one summer we won two May Hoops tournaments, man. Like, May Hoops is like the top tier, all the best basketball players go there. We won 2 tournaments, and it's like, in the year span, I plan on I feel as though I left my legacy imprint, not even like a legacy, but yeah, a legacy for music already. I just feel like I built that. I'm ready to just like, you feel me now?
Nope, we ain't closing no books. Now, we ain't closing no books. Stop doing this shit.
Cause you know why? Cause then, like, look at the legacy I could live. I could teach through the young man.
You are somebody that's capable of doing a lot of shit. And I used to always talk to you about how fucking talented you are. How you have a look for certain things. I always tell you about shit like that. You look great today. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Ain't no more jokes no more.
I used to be like this all the time. I'm tired of being like this. I'm happy, man.
But whatever you got going on, you know, I'm going to support 100%. And if it's anything that you think of that we can figure out, then let's figure it out. And if it's a time capsule or a time limit on what you're trying to do and I need to be a part of something, let me be a part of it so I can be there so that you can get it done before the year is out. And then I catch up with you when you get inspired again. Listen,
you know what will be a true honor, blessing for me? Mm-hmm. If you can interview my team.
Your team, your basketball team?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we do that. We could do that. We could definitely do that.
We could like, or is it possible? Well, we'll talk about it off camera.
Yeah, I can come to the gym though. We could do it.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? Because I want to set up a media day for him.
Yeah, I've done media days for teams before. We could do it.
Yeah, all right, cool.
We can do it. I ain't gonna shout out my homies, but shout out to my young boys right now. You know how we play. But no, I'm with that.
Tell them come outside.
I'll tell you who they are in a minute. We figure it right out. But no, like I said, man, appreciate you. Good luck with everything. And, you know, don't take all my words for it, but just know that you are too talented in one area you're too talented in multi areas to stick in one area, but you're uber talented in one of them areas. And I feel like if you don't feed that itch, you're going to be in a corner somewhere twitching like, what the fuck is missing? I ain't put no bars down. My God, man, it's the chemist.
This is Sippin' with Sammy. I am.
It's crazy. That's the one you didn't produce.
Only Sippin' with Sammy. Sam, Barstool Rug. If you ain't sipping with Sammy, you ain't sipping right. Please get your fucking life together.
Yeah.
Fucking yuppie transplants. Move the fuck out. Get out of our fucking city. You ain't even fucking born here. Tired of you motherfuckers.
Bye. Nothing straightened but straightening, or a little bit of act right. Never gonna see me, I'm in the dark with a flashlight. Streets guess what my stash like, I'm broke baby, my stash lie. You old baby, is that right? Baggy sweats but that ass right like. What you know, what you need to learn? Word sister, you don't need a perm. Got trees if you need to burn, but roll a few, ain't take a turn. We can chat, even chew a bit. Bro, sweetie, ain't new to this. 215 where I grew and shit, but up top, really do this shit. Like, I ain't put up on the boards. Like, it ain't dirt on these cleats. Like, I ain't the one you call the game from. I'm the one you got your name from. Like, who you salute? One and the same, I'm the same one. But I'm Rugen at the same gun. Like, never talk cause I had teeth. Like, never spoke when I had beef. Like, we them boys on the back streets. Like, we the ones that.